Roger Kelso is behind the wheel of a big red combine.
He's out here, might not fit.
All day, he's been harvesting stalks of brittle corn, but he hasn't broken a sweat.
They give me the easy jobs. I'm 82, so I get to pick what I want.
Kelso helps his two sons farm nearly 4,000 acres of corn and soybeans in western Illinois. The majority of it will go to feed livestock. Driving around the Midwest, you'll see plenty of farms like the Kelsos. Field after field of corn and soybeans, tall silver grain bins, and white barns. What you typically don't see? Cows or chickens or hogs. But when Kelso was a kid, the farms around here raised the animals too.
Everybody around here fed cattle and hogs, and my dad fed about 200 head of cattle every year, and he'd probably have 600 head of hogs a year, and the neighbors across the road there probably hadn't fed out 400 head of cattle.
That began to change in the 1950s, when diversified farms like the one Kelso grew up on started breaking into specialized chunks. Chickens migrated southeast, cattle were herded southwest, other types of animal feed like oats and hay moved north and west. Corn stayed put.
Today we're much more concentrated here in the upper Midwest as far as that corn production is concerned.
Chad Hart is an economist at Iowa State University. He says farms begin to specialize in growing either animals or their feed in service to efficiency.
We figured out the assembly line definitely has some advantages. They could lower their cost structure. They could improve their production patterns when they concentrated on fewer enterprises.
The corn assembly line is wildly productive. Farmers will harvest an estimated 13.5 billion bushels this year. Iowa, Illinois, and Nebraska grow almost half of that. A fraction of it goes to sweeten things we eat and drink. About a third is made into ethanol for fuel. And when you figure in exports and byproducts, more than half feeds livestock. So that plentiful, cheap corn from the Midwest, it helps feed the world's appetite for meat. To get the corn out of the Midwest and to the animals, the first stop is a place like this, Western Grain Marketing. Part grain elevator, part train station. A few times a month, a locomotive jumps onto a track that loops around WGM's giant grain bins. The train lurches forward every few minutes, filling each car with a waterfall of corn. Once loaded, it chugs down to cattle feedlots and ethanol plants in Texas and Mexico.
We're bringing stuff in, shipping it out constantly.
Scott Sims is a manager here. He says recently the trains have also been hauling their corn to Pilgrim's Pride chicken houses.
They go through one shuttle, which is 450,000 bushel in 6 days. That's a lot of corn for chickens.
How many chickens?
We tried to figure that out one time, and we finally got into the millions and give up. It's a lot.
While chickens and cattle are largely raised elsewhere, a lot of hogs are raised in the Midwest, close to their feed. They don't take up lots of valuable space. They're often inside climate-controlled concrete barns, built to house tens of thousands of hogs at a time. That's why farmers like the Kelsos brought hogs back.
It's the old saying goes, slop the hogs. This is truly slopping the hogs because it makes a kind of a moist, soft feed for them. They can eat it better and digest it better.
Clark Kelso, one of Roger's sons, is in their hog barn, watering down feed for hundreds of identical pink piglets.
They're really playful, especially when they're little.
Some days you come in here and they're running laps.
The Kelsos fatten up the hogs for a company that owns the piglets. In exchange, they get cash and the hog manure to spread on their fields, which helps them grow more grain to feed more livestock to ultimately produce more meat. Abby Wendell, Harvest Public Media.